from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart, because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you could imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I'd known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody, and to Michelle Claire down in beautiful Arizona. What part of Arizona are you in, Michelle?
I'm in the Phoenix area.
Is it warm right now in the middle of winter?
Actually, right now it is rainy and 55 degrees. So for us, that's a cold day.
Okay. Well, this podcast is not about the weather, so my quick apologies for that. But before we talk about your three, everybody get ready, three near-death experiences, tell us just a little bit about you so we can get to know you first.
Yeah, so I was raised Catholic. I have three sisters. My mom was an RN and my dad was in the Air Force. I was married for 25 years. I now have three children, 23, 20, and 17. So they're all grown up on me, or getting close to it anyway. And I've been working professionally as a medium since my third near-death experience after I did mentoring. So I've been being professional with this since about 2017.
And by the way, when we're done, if you find Michelle as interesting as I think you will, you can reach out to her at michelleclaire.net, and that'll be in the show notes to make sure you spell it right. Well, if you don't mind, I want to jump right into it. Can we start with your first NDE, which was way back in 2000?
Mm-hmm.
Give us a little background. What were you doing in your life and what led up to this?
Okay. At that point in my life, I was newly married. I was working for the airlines. Some people might remember Delta Airlines. That sounds familiar. I was working for Delta, and that was here in Phoenix at the Phoenix Airport. Just really going about my life, not really thinking much about it. I had been raised Catholic. I wasn't in church every Sunday, but you know, it was still the majority of my belief system. And that day, I was actually in a hospital in Tucson. My sister-in-law had just given birth, so we were down there visiting her. I was talking to her RN, who actually happened to be my friend from high school, and I had a massive seizure. And at that point in time, I remember looking up, and my grandmother, who had transitioned a couple years before me, was smiling at me, and I was laying with my head in her lap.
Okay, hang on. Did you realize you were dead or out of your body, or where were you?
Yeah, my body was on the floor in the hospital, and I was in this beautiful space with my grandmother who had passed away, a place that had unconditional love, timelessness. It looked like I was in a white room, but the molecules or the cells in these walls were alive, and they seemed to be almost breathing and radiating light and love. I didn't know that. I had no idea. I went from talking to my friend from high school to with my head in my grandma's lap. It happened that quick.
So what caused the seizure?
They never figured it out. They admitted me to the hospital that night.
So it was a one-time thing and then you were okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Wow. Well, that's a blessing there. Not the seizure, but the fact that it was a one-time thing and you got over that. Okay, you went through this a little bit fast, if you don't mind.
Okay.
I'm going to bear down on it just a little bit, and we can save some of this for later too, but...
Sure.
How does an inanimate thing like white walls and molecules radiate love? Explain that to me.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I would describe it as if you're looking at a leaf on a tree in the sunlight, right? And the sun is coming through it, but it almost looks like it's radiating out from inside of the leaf. That is how these walls were. But although they seemed solid, there were, I don't know what I would call cells or molecules that were each radiating this light and love within what appeared to be these white walls.
Okay, tell me about grandma now. You were just on her lap. What? Give me more detail.
Yes, Yeah, so I look up and I see Grandma looking right down at me. She is the youngest, healthiest version of her that I can remember. And I remember feeling so safe and so secure. Knowing that she was there, I had no fear. I didn't wonder how I got there. I was literally just enjoying the moment. And as I was looking at my grandmother, I looked next to her, and standing next to her was this angel that was about 12 feet tall. Yes, tall. I believed in angels growing up, but I had no idea they were that big. As I looked at this beautiful angel, the first thing I thought was I wanted to see her feather wings, because we all know they have feather wings, right? And as I moved my eyes to look for those beautiful feather wings, what I actually saw were wings made of light, and they were kind of like the aurora borealis. So they moved, they were translucent and iridescent, and they actually almost seemed to span or trail off into eternity. I don't actually ever remember seeing the end of the wing. And as I looked at her face, her energy, just beyond awestruck, and it almost encompassed me and sucked me into her. And I remember thinking, what is your name? And I was thinking this, and she answered me. She said, my name's Madeline. I'm one of your guardian angels. And I was quite surprised, because I did not know anything about telepathic communication at that point in time. So I didn't know how she could hear what I was thinking. And while I was laying there, I had no cares at all in the world. I could have laid there forever. There was so much love and peace and bliss, and my grandma and this beautiful angel. And the next thing I hear is I hear someone yelling, code, 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 because I had quit breathing and I was already in the hospital.
They're about to spoil what's going on.
Exactly. And the next thing I know, I am back in my body. And it is like I just got dropped out of a 10-story building. Plunk. And it is heavy and it is dense. And my arm felt like it weighed 500 pounds. So it was very, it was a shocking contrast to go from that beautiful, energetic, light, airy, and heavenly realm to, boom, planet Earth.
Oh, wow. And waking up right there on the floor and shoof. Now, I'm looking behind you. You have two large sculptures of what look like female angels with feathery wings.
Right.
I'm guessing they don't make sculptures with the kind of wings you just described.
If they did, I would buy one. No, they don't.
Yeah. Well, those are beautiful anyway.
Well, thank you.
And symbolic of this whole thing. I have a daughter named Madeline, so that's a good one for a guardian angel. Anyway, okay, was there any after effect takeaway? Did that change your life much at the time?
At the time, it didn't change it too much. I remember when I woke up, I have clear memories of this. So as many NDEers say, it's more real on the other side than it is here. And that was the same thing. I had grown up feeling loved, but I had never felt as loved in my life as I felt in those moments in heaven. Like, I just came back feeling so loved. And I also did not have the term near-death experience in my vocabulary. So I knew I had an experience. It took me a few weeks before I was ready to tell my mom about it, because I didn't know really what to do with this. As a lot of NDEers will say, once you get there and you have this experience, if it's not something you've grown up around, you think people are going to think you're crazy when you share it. So I came back feeling extra loved, shared it with my mom in a few weeks. My mom kind of looked at me and believe me, but kind of wanted some type of scientific proof or something. And, you know, I had nothing except the energy and the memories that I was holding in my heart and body from that.
Was this grandmother your mom's mom?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, one of the lessons I learned from that NDE, well, I learned quite a few lessons, but one of them was angels are real. Heaven knows we are coming. My grandmother was right there waiting for me. She knew I was coming before I did. And I always find that with my mediumship, I love being able to share that with people. They know you're coming. No one transitions alone. Even if you're in the middle of the desert somewhere, your loved ones, your angels, your life guides, they're all right there waiting.
Yeah, that's a very comforting thought. Wow, I'm not sure where to go with that. I tell you what, let's just go on to the second one, unless there's anything else from the first one that you want to fill in.
Well, I feel like for me, the connection with my grandma and the angel really opened up my angelic connection and my ability to understand, see, know, and communicate with angels. So it definitely let me know, for me personally, that this is real and this is help and support that's available to all of us. So I think that was another big thing that came out of that. My second NDE happened in May of 2006. And at that point in time, I had had my son. So at this point in my life, I have two kids. I have my daughter who is 5, another daughter 2.5, and I had just given birth to my son on April 1st. So of course he came early because he's still a joker to this day. And as I had him, I had a lot of complications during labor and then after. So I went home when they let me out, not feeling great, started running a fever within hours, and ended up being back and forth in the hospital for 4 days, home for 2 days, back in the hospital on IV antibiotics and all sorts of procedures they were doing. So mid-May, about 6 weeks later, they decided we need to do a DNC because that is a process that clears out the uterus because they thought I had an infection in there, maybe a piece of placenta or something. And they said it was going to be a 45-minute procedure. It was going to be outpatient, piece of cake. So I was in because I wanted the easy out. I was tired of being sick and in the hospital and away from my kids. And the night before, I just had this pit in my stomach and I knew that I shouldn't go through with the surgery. But I remember them telling me it'd be 45 minutes, I'd be cured, I'd be home. So I show up the next morning, talk to the doctor, the anesthesiologist, both of them then confirm it's quick, it's easy, done it a million times, you're going to be fine. So I had had anesthesia before, and when I've had it, it's just a blank space. There's no memory. There's no dreaming. It's just a blank. I remember counting backwards for the anesthesiologist, and the next thing I know, I'm on the gurney in the operating room, and my beautiful white German Shepherd, who was 102 pounds, she had passed away a couple years before this, walks in, lays her head on the gurney, looks at me, and we are gone. And all of a sudden, we are on this phenomenal beach. Once again, there are colors, there are sights, there are sounds, there are emotions. Every cell, every molecule of water in the ocean, in the plants, radiating this light and love from within. And she and I are on the beach and we are just running. And I'm looking at her. We are communicating telepathically again. She's so happy that I'm there. She looks young. She looks like about a 2-year-old German Shepherd. Healthy. I can tell she's so happy. And we are just running and running. And I start to notice that sand doesn't feel hard. It feels like we're running on clouds. We're not getting tired. We're not getting hot or thirsty. So I've really started to become aware, wait, I think something different is happening here at that point in time. Encompassed by that love in this near-death experience is really where I was able to tap into truly the present moment. And with that, I will say on the beach with her at that time, there was only each breath and each step. I could not worry about anything before it or after it. It was the most present I have ever been. It was literally each breath, each step, each breath, each step. And then at some point, I feel my son, who's 6 weeks old, and he's at my house with my mom, calling to me because he knows I'm getting ready to leave. If you can think about how close we are with our children, and he can feel that my soul is getting ready to leave. And I remember going to him and I said, I'll find a way to stay. And I didn't know what to do. So I started praying and I started saying, I need help. It's not my time. My kids still need me here. And in that moment, I was transported back into the operating room. I saw Jesus come in. I saw this beautiful white golden light. And the next thing I knew, I was waking up. Let me add this. Jesus came in as my friend. Jesus did not come in saying, bow down, pray to me, or anything like that. Jesus came in and it wasn't words. It was the energy, because this is beyond words. It was like, I'm here to help you. Let me help you. And the next thing I know, I'm waking up in post-op and my 45-minute procedure had turned into a 3.5-hour emergency surgery because they had ruptured my uterus in two places and missed my artery by a millimeter.
Tell me more about the interaction with Jesus.
Yeah, there were no words. It was telepathic and energetic. And that's why I would say there was just this feeling of, I'm your best friend, let me help you. And I really felt like with that, my soul had summoned him in, right? And so I like to tell people this, our souls are capable of summoning miracles, miracles as humans call them. And in that moment, for whatever happened, I was able to get into alignment to send out that prayer or that ask of help. And here he came. I will tell you, I don't remember specifically praying to Jesus. I remember asking for help and telling them that I needed to stay. But that was who responded to my call for help, which makes perfect sense to me being raised Catholic, that he's truly, you know, a master that I still work with today. And with him, I mean, all I can tell you is that everything about him radiated light and love. When there was that scene and that connection with Jesus, there was nothing anyone could have ever done wrong because you were purely loved for exactly who you are.
I love that you're telling me this, and other people have too, that feeling of love, it trumps everything else. That's all you feel, right? You're not feeling guilt, shame, all these things that we're afraid, oh no, there's Jesus, I'm going to have to, you know, because I have not been perfect or something. And it's just love, period.
Mm-hmm.
That makes so much sense. And it's been confirmed by so many people that I've had on this show. Same thing. So you didn't see one of these 12-foot angels this time?
I did not that time.
Okay.
I did not. I felt like I kind of upgraded, though. I got to see Jesus.
Yeah.
but I did not see any angels in that one. You know, the interesting thing about the near-death experiences is I've never gone back to question them because all three of them have been completely different and yet clearly exactly what my soul needed at that moment. And I think that's something that's common for NDEers. It's not Groundhog's Day. You don't go back and keep having the same experience every time. If you have more than one, they tend to build and you get more information, more knowledge.
I think you're ready for more after the first one.
Yeah.
So it makes sense they would build on each other. Okay, I'm a huge fan of beaches. Can you describe this beach a little bit more?
Oh, yeah. So in my mind, it's what I think Fiji would be like. I've never been to Fiji, but it was white, white, powdery sand.
I have. It's beautiful.
Okay.
You would love it. You need to go there.
All right. It's on my bucket list. White, white, powdery sand. The foliage grew right up to the ocean. I mean, there was just a little beach going down there. It wasn't like a huge beach. And it was interesting because I remember when there was no sun in the sky, but it was all light. But that made sense to me because the light was coming from within, every molecule, every cell, every drop of water. So I didn't see a sun in the sky, but yet it was as bright as a sunny day in Fiji would be. The smells, I mean, there were smells that I've never smelled. I don't know if they have them in Fiji, but really just like, gosh, almost like, perfume's too strong of a word. I don't even want to use that word, but very peaceful, very maybe like for people who like lavender, I feel like as you breathe it in, you relax into it, kind of something like smells that would relax you. Everything was so relaxing there. The colors were brighter. We actually had things there, flowers and things that had colors that we don't have here on Earth. And so I don't even know how to describe them. But just, yes, amazing, amazing and beautiful.
And with your dog, sounds like you had a great connection with your dog.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I've had quite a few dogs over my life, but that one's my soulmate dog.
What's her name?
Tahoe.
Good name. All right. Now let's go forward to 2011.
All right.
What was going on at this time? And then you've told me a little bit about it, but everybody else needs to hear. Go ahead.
Okay. At this point in time, my kids were older. So I had 10, 8, and 5. So they were, you know, they were moving around doing their thing. I had been a stay-at-home mom, homemaker, happy with that, loving every moment of being able to be with my kids. And I was actually climbing up this ladder. I have 14-foot ceilings in my house and about 12 feet off the ground in the kitchen. I have battery-operated candles that would turn on every night, glow, and turn off by themselves. My younger two kids were home, and they were actually in the kitchen because it was 11/111, right? November 1st. So they wanted to start looking and making their list for Santa, because everyone knows the morning after Halloween's over, you start planning for Santa, right? When you're 5 and 8 years old. They were in the kitchen working on their Christmas list. The oldest was in an after-school program. And I said to them, I said, as soon as I get done putting this candle up, we're going to go get your sister. So I climb up the ladder. And as I get to the top, I can feel it start to shift. And at that moment, I literally thought, this is going to hurt. And I knew this was going to hurt was all I could think. I was ripped out of my body, not in a painful way, but in a fast way. I was turned around and I was facing my body and the ladder suspended in the air. And as I was looking at this, I was once again in a timeless space. I was encompassed with unconditional love. I was feeling blissful. I was standing with three people that I had never met in this lifetime, but they felt like close family or friends. I knew they knew everything about me. One was an Asian man, one was an Egyptian woman, and one was a Hawaiian man. And they said to me, they said, what do you want to do, Michelle? Do you want to stay or do you want to go? And I was really trying to figure out how I had forever to decide what I wanted to do, because at the same time, I knew my body was going to hit the floor in less than a second, but they weren't rushing me. So I was a little confused. I had forever to decide. So I was aware of being in the timelessness and the love, and yet I knew there was part of me still connected to the time. And at that moment, I saw a beautiful angel come in dressed in red and gold, not my angel Madeline, a different one. And when I saw this angel, I knew immediately it was there to either take me home or shift something so that I could stay. And at that moment, my attention was drawn to my younger two kids in the kitchen. And as soon as I saw them, I knew I needed to stay. And so when I made this decision, I was downloaded with a lot of information very quickly. So they said, okay, but you need to go back and you need to practice your mediumship and do it in the way that just you can do it. I mean, we have a lot of mediums, but they all work differently. They told me that my marriage would probably end in divorce. They told me that I'd have more trauma coming later down the road in my life. And they gave me a lot of information. Some of it is still getting revealed with time because I was downloaded with so much at that point in time. I don't remember it all, but sometimes I'll hear something or see something and it will trigger more of what I was told at that point in time still. And that was in 2011. So this is an ongoing process. And as I was given all of this information, I remember being in spirit world and I remember them telling me about all of this trauma that I was going to have. And I remember also saying like, okay, send me in. I've got this. Okay. Right. And then you get here and you're human and you say, what the heck is happening to my life? So I end up falling. I hit the back of my head on the corner of my granite island. I had a 5.5-inch skull fracture. I had a brain bleed. I lost my taste and my smell, my equilibrium, part of my hearing, but I survived the fall by 0.5 inch. I missed my brainstem by 0.5 inch. And that was the difference of me being able to stay or go at that point in time.
Wow. Okay. Did you say one angel or a couple of angels this time?
I only saw one that time also.
Just one this time. Okay. Because I was thinking you had multiple guides.
Mm-hmm.
So Madeline and then this one.
Yes. So I have three life guides and I didn't actually even know those were my life guides. So even by the time we get to this third near-death experience, I don't know. I know I'm having an experience. I don't know. It's called a near-death experience.
Yeah.
I had never heard the term life guide. So I don't know who these three people are who seem to know me inside out, but here they are, And so once again, I knew I was having some significant, monumental, life-changing experience. I didn't have the vocabulary for it.
Yeah. Well, and I apologize because I think I kind of mixed all together these three guides that you told us about, the Asian man, Hawaiian man. What was the third one?
Egyptian lady.
Egyptian lady. I think I mixed those up with the angels a little bit. So,
okay.
So I'm counting five right now then. But did you get any kind of message from these life guides, what their purpose is, how they help you at this point?
Yeah. Well, so this is all telepathic communication, right, with them. And really what this was, so it makes sense to me that my life guides were the ones that are there right now saying, this is the only NDE where I got the choice. Do you want to stay or do you want to go? It was literally a point blank question. And at that point, it makes sense that it was my life guides asking me. My understanding is our life guides are here to help us follow through with our blueprint for our life, whereas our angels really are here for love and comfort and protection. So they serve two different roles. So it makes sense when I was given the choice, it was presented by my life guides.
Okay, that makes sense. Can you describe any more details about Madeline or the other angel with the red and gold dress?
Mm-hmm.
Did you see facial features or was this just light mostly?
I did see facial features. So they appeared to me as human-like. And that makes sense to me because that's what I'm comfortable with. Everything in this was about love and comfort. And so if my angels had appeared to me with eight heads or like a blue alien, I would have maybe been a little jolted, but they appeared to me in the way I expected. So they looked like humans. I mean, their skin was perfect. They were porcelain. They were stunning. But within them, you could feel the light and love radiating out of them. And their energy almost kind of want to say like brings you in and hugs you. The energetic comfort that they bring is unbelievable.
Did you get a feel from your three guides like they were people that had lived here on Earth at some time and this was their afterlife and this was maybe part of an assignment that they had?
Absolutely. I felt like all three of them had actually mastered life on planet Earth, and that's why they were able to be my life guides at that point in time. So I think that they had been here many, many times, knew the ins and outs of it, and had signed up to try to help keep me on my path.
How about the angels? Same question.
Yeah. So from what I know as a medium, angels can have earthly incarnations. So you can be an angel and come to the earth energy and have a human life here. They don't tend to prefer that. They tend to be a vibrational frequency that does well in that heavenly realm. And a lot of times when we come to earth from that angelic realm, it's a hard life because it's even harder than it is on regular souls that are coming in. So it is possible. I think some of them have done that. And I think some of them have not.
Explain to me, why do you think we can't remember what happened to us before this life?
Yeah. Well, we are veiled or given amnesia or whatever we want to call this, because if we remembered the whole plan of the life that we had set up, we really wouldn't be evolving and growing and learning through it. So there's this part of it where also too, I'll say this, knowing that love of this heavenly realm that we all call home, you would long for it to a degree that would be almost unimaginable. If you could remember where you came from and that everything is perfect, it'd make it even harder to be here. So the amnesia or veiling is for a couple of reasons. One, it's so that we can actually try to learn our life purpose and do it as an individual, right? Because we chose to come here as an individual, but it's also to help with the longing of wanting to go home.
That is a great explanation. I completely agree with it. Experiencers that I've talked to, especially ones that are moms and have kids, that's the reason they choose to come back.
Yeah, those darn kids, they get you stuck here on planet Earth.
Yeah. It's somebody that I love needs me. It's not a selfish decision ever, is it? It's not, oh, I don't like it here so well. I want to go back to Earth and my regular body and that kind of thing. It's always out of service for somebody else. And it seems like that comes from this place where you're feeling nothing but love. So you're making that choice that same way. Is that, do you feel like that's how it works?
Absolutely. So I feel like it really was a choice made in love. And I'm going to add the human word sacrifice on there because I gave up stepping into that blissful eternal realm at that moment to come back to raise my three kids, but then to go through a marriage that ended in divorce, to then find love again. And my life partner transitioned by suicide in August. And so there was this part of me where had I chosen to stay at that point in time, I could have bypassed a lot of human trauma, but my kids wouldn't have had a mom and I wouldn't have been there to be able to watch them grow up and help them and love them and guide them. And so I feel like every experiencer that comes back is doing it from a place of love. And let's go beyond that. Every soul that is here on planet Earth came here from a place of love. It's not just NDEers. It's love. We come from the love.
And we'll go back to the love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you've mentioned a couple of times that you had a Catholic upbringing.
Mm-hmm.
Did these experiences change your feelings for that at all? And by the way, anyone that's new to the show, this is a completely non-denominational show. We are not pushing any one religion. We are not slamming on any religions. That is not why I'm asking this question. I'm just kind of curious how these experiences affected your belief system that you had grown up with.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so from a very young age, there were things that really resonated with the Catholic Church. I remember being in first grade and my Sunday school teacher telling me when I was crying because my dog died that my dog didn't go to heaven because it didn't have a soul. And that was the first jolting experience I had. What? You know? So very early on, there were differences. Here are some of the things I loved. I was taught that there were angels and saints and Mother Mary and all of these beings of light that wanted to help us and support us. And what I know from my mediumship and my near-death experiences, that part of it is true. Guess what? I saw my beautiful dog in heaven. She made it there. Our animals go to heaven. That wasn't a fear that I had carried with me. But what happened at a young age for me was I felt like I already had a knowing of, I'm going to say, God or source and that energy. And I already could see that the Catholic religion, although it had very many beautiful things, confined what I knew of source into a smaller box than I knew source what to be.
Okay, that's interesting. Let's talk about the three guides for a second. What do you make of how different they were? I mean, these weren't like, you know, the three women next door. They weren't your aunts and grandmas. You know, what do you make of how different they were from you?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. Actually, I love that. It tells us all how diverse our souls are, right? These life guides, what I know now is that I had chosen them before I came here. They all serve specific purposes. So everyone has at least one life guide and one guardian angel. We might have more than that, depending on our mission or our purpose for coming to planet Earth. And so for me, each one of these guides, although very diverse, from who I am, specializes in some type of field or area to help me accomplish the missions and the purpose of my soul being here at this point in time. And so it really also, I would say this, although they appeared to me like, you know, a Hawaiian man, that would be very different than me, a Caucasian female, right? But in that moment, I didn't look at them or feel any difference or distance between us. We were one. It was almost just like it was, you know, I kind of like to say changing outfits when I think back about it. It's like if I put on different clothes, I'm still Michelle. I'm just in a different outfit or a different Halloween costume. And so although they were separate from me in a way and looked different than me, none of that translated into the experience that I had because I felt one with all of them.
So how do we let our guides guide us?
Yeah.
How do we know they're guiding us? How do we know how to follow?
Right. Exactly. So it always starts as a whisper. I feel like our life guides, you know, I wish spirit was shouting at us with a bullhorn. It would make our lives easier, but they're not. They're whispering to us. They're nudging us. So it's really a lot of the times we call it intuition or gut feeling or, you know, whatever we want to call this, but these are always our life guides saying, hey, go that way. Hey, take a right. Hey, I need you to run into this person today because they're going to just tell you about this random job opportunity that came up. That's the job you're supposed to have. So we call it maybe coincidence or synchronicities, but our life guides are always talking to us. It's in the whispers and what we consider to be random as humans that they're pointing us in the right direction.
Okay. Now I'm probably going to ask you to speculate a little bit on this one, unless you really know the answer, but our guardian angels, did your guardian angel take the day off when you were on the ladder that day? Or, you know what I mean? If we have these guardian angels, why do we get in car accidents? Why do these other traumatic things happen to us?
Right. So, I will tell you what I know from that is a medium. So as we plan our life, we put in multiple exit points. So there are times in our life when we're in spirit before we come here where we say, hey, I can leave at this point and I can go home and I can, you know, home to the heavenly realm is what I'm going to say about that. And the other thing is this, is the universe had already tried to wake me up twice. I had already had two near-death experiences. And here I was, it was kind of go big or go home at this point in time on this third NDE. So it wasn't that my angel didn't know what was coming, didn't take the day off, that was actually done, I believe, for myself on a soul level where I said, okay, Michelle, and if you don't wake up by 11-1-11, here comes something significant to help you get back on track and remember why you're here.
And maybe that angel did help nudge your head a half an inch, right?
The one in the red and gold. Yes, move my head a half an inch. I have no doubt.
In the right direction.
In the right direction to survive the fall. Yeah. So I was divinely supported in this NDE. I had three life guides and an angel right there. I was surrounded with light and love and blissful timelessness energy. And there was no part of me, I want to say this too, there was no part of me that felt like it was right or wrong to stay or go. No matter what decision I made, I knew I was going to be loved and I was going to be fine.
How do we spread that kind of love here?
Well, we have to stop looking at each other as separate, whether this is, you know, just we do so much on planet Earth to divide people out regularly. We are always showing why you're different, why I'm different. We can't, and we buy into the contrast so much. The contrast is good because it helps us learn. That is part of why we came to planet Earth. But when you really start seeing people the way that Source sees them, which is that we're all loved and we're all perfect and we're all here on our own separate journey, course of life. I never came back looking at people as broken from that third NDE. I came back and I would look at them and I'd say, I wonder what their soul plan is. It changed my perspective on all of that.
All right. I'd love to leave our listeners with some kind of wonderful message of hope today. How do you want to summarize?
Yeah. I mean, wow, there's so many places you can go with that. Number one, you need to know you're not living this life alone, that even in the moments where it doesn't feel like it, you are divinely guided by your angels, your life guides, your loved ones in spirit, Source, the divine. You are not here accidentally. We all chose to come here on a soul level. And it's really so that we can learn and grow and also play and find the magic in life. And a lot of times we get bogged down in survival mode and we forget that our soul came here to learn and play and grow.
Okay. On a scale of 1 to 10, what's your level of fear of death?
0.
Perfect. Thanks, Michelle. Appreciate having you today.
Yeah, you are so welcome. Thank you for having me. It's really been an honor.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.